I was kidnapped and tortured. And so I had never been in a relationship, even growing up in the UK, where I hadn't been hit by a male. And so, unfortunately, I think until I moved there, until I experienced the severity of what happened, I'd kind of always been that girl that, oh, well, it happened. And that's not okay. Shakara, so does everybody Bridges. Absolute gratitude for that woman, because she set the fucking standard. She was the first one to do what she did, you know. And I said that to her. My admiration for that woman has always been there. Thank you, because it was women like her that reminded me, don't be anyone but yourself. You know, in this world, everyone has a fucking opinion and you're entitled to it. But a lot of what people say and a lot of those negative comments are reflections of our internal world. I never went in there to lose. I never go into anyone to lose, you know what I mean? And it fucking broke me in a way that I felt like I'd let myself down. Like I had this huge opportunity in front of me and I just blew it. That's how I was looking at it. Do you know what I mean? Like I was genuinely looking at it from the perspective of like, I fucking blew it. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I know I could have fucking performed better. X, Y, and Z. The reality of the situation was I had to find pride in what I'd done. And it just took me a long time to find that. You know, when I realized and came out of that place where I was like, stop talking to yourself so negatively. Like, you do not let any woman in your life speak negatively in front of you. Like, someone will say something to me and I'm like, don't talk about my friend like that. Yeah. Bring your sparring stuff tomorrow. I thought, fuck it, wicked. Went home, I was like, the next morning, I'm meditating, I was like, visualising, I was like, I'm a fucking killer. Did I fuck? I got the shit kicked out of me. I got in there with the national champion. I remember she fucking wailed the shit out of me and I loved it.
Before we get into this, we're doing over 1 million engagements a month, but most of you aren't subscribed. If you enjoy the content, hit subscribe and follow us on socials. It'll make such a massive difference. Cheers.
Welcome along, Ebony.
Thanks for asking.
That's a pleasure. It's a pleasure.
Good morning, Ebony.
Good morning.
How are you?
I'm very well, thank you. A little bit tired. My jet lag's got jet lag, but I'm good.
Yeah?
Yeah.
So if you're going to be jet lagged and tired, there couldn't be any better place to be than St. Andrews.
Oh, 100%.
You've been interviewed exactly on a Monday morning.
My social batteries are like here. Oh, mate. Really pumped.
What we normally do is just have a bit of an introduction to yourself.
Okay.
Just give us yourself in a couple of paragraphs and we can go from there.
So my name is Ebony Cotton. I am a professional boxer. Wasn't always a professional boxer. Certified nightmare. Got a degree in being an absolute legend. I'm doing it.
Yes.
Used to be a dancer. Professional boxer now. Yeah, just all round here for a good time.
Brilliant. So the tenuous link is you're originally from Riley Regis,
yeah,
which is just around the corner.
Yeah.
Tell us about life growing up in the Black Country.
So even though like I did grow up in the Black Country, I was exposed to traveling like my whole life. So I danced from the age of 4, I danced 6 days a week. And I was so fortunate that I really did get to travel the world dancing. Growing up in the Black Country, there's a lot to be said from my experiences with people and different cultures all over the world. People are kind and we have a different kind of sense of humour. And I know that might sound a little bit wild, but people are just genuinely nice. It might be that we're not that respectfully that affluent or whatever that is. Being away for so long, when I came home, that is one thing that I definitely noticed and was grateful for. I realised that it made me the person that I am today. You know, I still look around, I still hear some of the shit that people say and I'm like, oh yeah, but I actually really enjoyed that too. But yeah, life in the Black Country still is. Always okay. I think it doesn't matter where you are, it depends your mindset and where you are, right?
Do you ever slip into the nighty tongue?
100%. Just give me 5 minutes talking to someone from fucking home or my mum.
Yeah. I've found, as we've been speaking to you, you kind of slip into it. Is it because does our Brummie accent kind of bring it on a little bit?
Brummie accent makes me want to slip into being Australian more and more. We had
Steve Bull on, forward. One of the first comments underneath was, but Bully wore Medin Brum though, were we?
Yeah.
Hate. Yeah. Once we got it translated into English, he wasn't Medin Brum. That's the podcast. So you've travelled since you were little, Irish dancing.
Yeah.
How far did you go with that?
Yeah, world level. Yeah, I competed at World Championships every year that I was able to. I qualified for Worlds and danced at Worlds every year. I left when I was 17. I moved to Greece and I gave it up for the first time since I was 4. And then I went back to it And I did it until I moved back to Australia. Sorry, until I moved the first time to Australia. So yeah, my whole life really until I was, what, 19, which is pretty wild, isn't it? Definitely grew up in a dancing bubble and that had its own fucking trauma. But no, like I was very grateful for it because what dancing taught me, I've then transferred into boxing. But it's also been so useful throughout life in every capacity. Like that discipline is just the biggest transferable skill that I have the utmost gratitude for. Even though growing up when you start hitting that puberty age of people start drinking and going out and boys get involved or whatever, like there was definitely moments in my head where I was like, fuck it. But I'm very grateful for it. I really am. Made me who I am.
Yeah.
Is there a knocking over there?
Probably me on my foot.
Sorry.
Why do you want to join it? Do you want to be the singer?
I'm just thinking about the editing after. I'm going to my idea too because it'll be like, no.
You're welcome.
No, that's fine. That's fine. I can do it. I'm good at editing.
My teachers, if they're ever watching this, they'll be thinking I should used to do that at school.
That's exactly what you used to get told off for.
I do remember, you know, when your parents go for parents' evening and you think, oh God, here we go. And every single teacher used to be like, she's got so much ability. She just gets distracted. And I'm like, no shit.
You're like, what?
Sorry, what was that?
Yeah. Was she a good kid? Was she a nightmare?
In what regard?
Just in regards to school and stuff, yeah.
I was always the kid that wasn't afraid to voice. So, like, I would get suspended at school. Sorry, Mom. For sticking up for things that I didn't, like, injustice. So, I specifically remember one teacher, fat cunt. No, sorry.
Is that his name?
Mrs. No, she, I remember she shouted at me for something. Sorry, she shouted at someone else for something that I had done. And I was like, no, that was me. And it just went back and forth to the point that I ended up suspended. But that, not naughty. I was just, I love attention, in case you can't tell. That was all my seeking.
Doesn't come across.
No, it's a little bit. But...
So you talk about transferable skills. So boxing is footwork, isn't it? It's 90% footwork. So did you find that an easy transition when you started, kind of picked up a pair of gloves and started boxing?
If you ask my coaches, I'd probably laugh and think, how'd she move her feet that quick when she danced and she can't fucking move her mother in the ring? But I think it definitely helped in, you know, of course it helped. Those skills are something you develop and you work on. I don't think I was necessarily aware of it, but yeah, for sure.
Yeah.
For sure.
So travelling then, so you lived in Greece, Hong Kong, Singapore, Australia. You speak about Australia highly. Is it the place that's had the biggest impact on you and lifestyle-wise?
I think I spent such a formative part of my years in my 20s there. Like there was, look, Australia, definitely. I upgraded myself in Australia as many times as your iPhone upgrades. Do you know what I mean? My personality kept changing. It definitely taught me a lot. It wasn't all fun and games. A lot happened to me in Australia that I am grateful for. Like I wouldn't recommend it for anyone else, but it's the biggest impact side on my life. Like I have two stepchildren there that I still see. I'm not with their dad anymore. Haven't been for over 4 years. And so like that relationship even, you know, like it changed who I am. It gave me a love and gifted me a purity that I'd never experienced in my life. And I was over there literally last week seeing them. And so yeah, it's definitely had the biggest impact on me in regards to where I've lived around the world.
And you've publicly spoke about the relationship that you had and the abusive relationship. So what inspired you and what kind of finally give you the strength to say, you know what, it's done? Because historically there's a lot of tabloids and stuff that women just don't leave. So what was your
so as much as I've spoken about it, I probably, look, if you put my date in history on the table, it would be in the dictionary next to fucking retard or idiot. Do you know what I mean? Like my date in history has been, it's made me who I am. But there wasn't just like one person. There was, unfortunately, I was in a couple of domestic violent relationships in Australia. One that was severely physical and one that was severely mental. And so the physical one, I'll give you a brief. I don't think I've ever spoken about it, but I'll give you a brief. I was kidnapped and tortured. And so I had never been in a relationship, even growing up in the UK, where I hadn't been hit by a male. And so unfortunately, I think until I moved there, until I experienced the severity of what happened, I'd kind of always been that girl that, oh, well, it happened. And that's not okay. The second someone raises a hand, raises a voice, that's abuse. Leave. Like, you deserve better than that, but you have to demand your worth. So the second relationship, the one that really threw me, the one that with the kid's dad, yes, there was physical abuse, but the mental abuse was just beyond comprehension. And the thing that made me leave is, the truth is, I have a responsibility and a duty to those children to be a role model that I promised them that I would be. You know, I didn't enter into their life with the intention of ever leaving, but I also entered into their life with the intention of setting the example, of showing them what they deserve, of, you know, guiding them in the best way that I know how. And trust me, there's no fucking rule book, and I apologize for things that I've done wrong. But the second their dad laid hands on me, there was no way I was going back, because of my aunt, who's my stepdaughter. She needs to know that that's not okay. There's no excuse for it. There's no, oh, we might have changed. No, there isn't. Regardless of how much you love someone, regardless of how much you feel it might hurt you to walk away, you have to demand your worth. And that was it for me the second that happened. Regardless of what followed, that was it. There was no going back. Do you know what I mean? And that was the strength. I gave me the strength to go, even though that meant I didn't see him for a long time. So, yeah, that's it.
That's deep, yeah.
Did you get dark? Do you want to?
It's as deep as you want to go into it,
this then can be presented as a motivational thing, because we don't have many women on, do we? Especially don't the women that we have had on have all had a story to tell,
yeah,
and a positive message. So it's, you know, if we can take a positive message from your kind of role model and your guidance for anyone, if there's a woman watches this and thinks, you know what, I never thought of that,
yeah,
if it's talked to one person, it's done a job, hasn't it?
I think, unfortunately, there's not enough education around it. And that is one thing that I will give credit to Australia for, is that I learned over there, but we're during my time over there, that so much of so many of the relationships that I'd been in, and so much of the things that I accepted weren't okay. We don't have to accept them. Like, and I don't know whether that's now changing as the world is growing and social media is becoming such a part of these kids' lives. But for me in particular, I had no idea. Like, I'd never been in therapy. I didn't, you know, that meant I was psycho and I was going up the wall. Therapy was the best thing I ever did. I'm still in therapy. I'll always be in therapy. I might not use it every week or every month, but why would you not want to grow as a person? Why would you not want to learn and demand your worth? And to any woman out there who is even in a position where they are scared, where they fear financial control, physical abuse, whatever that is, the best thing you will ever do, even if for the interim you feel like it's the worst and hardest thing in your life, is step into your own power. Take back what you deserve, because the way that love, to me, in my personal opinion, should feel is you receive what you put out. If you wouldn't say something to your best friend, or sorry, if the advice you would give to your best friend or your daughter or your son, the people that you love most in this world, is not the advice you're taking for yourself, then hun, start demanding it, because you deserve to love yourself in the same way you love those people around you. And that's all. That's it. But also, my inbox is always open. I might not reply straight away, but it's open.
I think you're right with social media as well. I think it's given people the strength that before things happened behind closed doors, no one had an outlet, did they?
Yeah.
But now you see certain threads and message boards where someone mentions something that's happened to them, and then everyone kind of go, well, this is my story.
Yeah.
It gives them the kind of courage to open up themselves.
100%. Yeah. And I think there's unfortunately a stigma. There's like this is my opinion, by no means putting it on anyone else, but what I am grateful for Australia for is I was never taught to talk. I grew up in a very beautiful home, very loving home, but I had no understanding of how to talk about my feelings or emotions. Whereas over there, it was almost encouraged. Like I said, dude, therapy over here was like, I'm a nar, I'm going to end up in the white fucking padded room. Do you know what I mean? Whereas over there, it's normal. Most everyone goes to therapy. How was therapy? Yeah, great. How was your day? Yeah, I had therapy. How was... Do you know what I mean? Yeah. Why are people so scared? We all struggle in our own way. It's not a problem. The biggest strength in the world is found in vulnerability.
I think that's a very British thing.
I think it's a British, it's a British uptight kind of, don't talk about therapy, don't talk about sex, how's your day? It was all right. Yeah. How's your day? It was all right. It's kind of, especially.
It's like the worst day in the world, but you just go, it was all right.
Yeah.
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah. So you use that you've just told us fuel for your aspirations,
for your
boxing. You mentioned boxing saved your life. Can you expand on kind of that?
So cover the first bit, aspirations, yes. So for me, I made a promise to Roman and Amaya that I would be the best version of me for them. And so for me, I know what they've been through. I know what I went through and have no idea what everyone else in the world goes through. But if I can show a person that you can become anything you choose despite what happens to you, you can sit in that victim mentality or you can fucking use it. You can use it to change something. You can use it to give someone a voice. I was lucky enough that when I was going through depression, I had friends reach out and help my hand. If I can save another life, then my work's fucking done. If I can build a platform and I can say to someone, yo, please hold on. Like, I know it's dark. Like, I've been there and I'll never pretend to understand anyone else's darkness because we don't, but we have our own versions of that. And so if I am able to save one life by just saying, yo, in 3 years, I went from never boxing to turning pro to fighting two of the best fighters in the world, and I'm going to continue and I'm going to achieve what I said I'm going to achieve. Why can't you? Stop letting people dictate who you can and can't be. Stop letting the world make you feel this big, because you're not. You're just not. So yeah, like, that's my motivation behind it. What was the next question?
Boxing. Saves your life.
So that's so so kind of fell into boxing. So I was living in Tasmania when everything happened with my ex and he kicked me out, blah blah blah. My family were over. It was for our engagement party. So flew back to Sydney, stayed with friends, slept with my friends for 3 months. Don't remember anything, disassociating, severe mental health, was in therapy. Truthfully, don't remember 3 months of my life. Couldn't tell you a single thing. Before I left Tassie, I was doing CrossFit. So I've always been heavily involved in sports. And I went and said bye to everyone that was at the gym, because, you know, you form your little gym family. And the coach there was like, please don't stop moving. Like I'm begging you, don't stop moving. So I never did. I always went to the gym. I always used the gym. And he had put me in contact with his friend, Luke Jackson, who is the Olympic boxer over in Australia. And I went out to Coogee Beach and I had this session on the beach. I'd never put fucking gloves on. I'd never done anything. And for the first time, I felt something. And that might sound weird, but to anyone that's been through depression, I felt something. I don't know what that something was, but it was a feeling. And when I've been on that floor for so long and been in that space for so long, it was something that I wanted to hold on to. For the first time, I had a little bit of light. And obviously, there are so many links out there. Like, it's proven physical exercise is medicine. You know, movement is medicine. And then the more I looked into things, as in the more I now understand, there are so many links between martial arts specifically and mental health. So, yeah, like, I then carried on boxing and I was just doing it at a gym. Like, I just started doing it at a CrossFit gym. I'd moved out with my friends. I was starting to get my life together, and I just can't even explain to you the obsession that I found it every time I walked out of there. The growth in me, that feeling of power, that feeling of reclaiming myself, that confidence that was growing. And all of a sudden, I was no longer wanting to die every day. I was no longer wanting to not wake up. It was more, fuck, I've got training. This is class. Like, and the more I did that, like, I remember I was just doing it with my CrossFit coach, and he was like, what do you want to do with this? And I was like, I want to fight. I'd never fucking had a boxing fight in my life. He took me out to his boxing gym. Yeah, that was it.
Was there a moment you went, oh.
The first bar I ever fucking had was with their national champion. Bear in mind, I had had one session at a proper boxing gym. And the coach came to me while I was skipping. I'll never forget. He was like, what do you want? And I was like, looked at him and he was like, who do you want to be? And I was like, I want to go all the way. And he went, bring your sparring stuff tomorrow. I thought, fuck it, wicked. Went home. I was like, the next morning, I'm meditating. I was like, visualizing. I was like, I'm going to fucking kill her. Did I fuck? I got the shit kicked out of me. I got in there with the national champion. I remember she fucking wailed the shit out of me. And I loved it. I absolutely loved it. It's something that you cannot describe. Obviously, look, scientifically, the serotonin released is like, whoosh, like the dopamine is like, whoosh, like fucking drugs times 10. And yeah, like, I just knew from that moment that was what I was going to do. It was like someone had literally gone, hey, here's your purpose, go. Like, that's how it felt.
Whereas some people, it might have been like,
yeah, and that's
and okay. I probably don't mind me saying it, but especially women, if you're getting punched in the face, yeah. It's like, oh, some women might be like, not for me. Yeah. But you're like, oh, yeah.
Oh. I was like, do it again. No, and that's the thing about boxing, and that's the message that for me I want to spread. So I run a women's class. When you engage with boxing, you don't have to fight. You don't have to go there to get in the ring and do what I want to do and get the belts. You don't. But the community there, when you walk in a boxing gym, you can walk into a boxing gym all over the world, no ego, and you're instantly family. You know, we're all on the same playing field. Like, I go away with, like, the other month, before my last fight, we went to Tenerife, and I was on camp with, like, Liam Davis, Tyler Tenney, and, you know, in what other sport in the world do you have, let's say, premiership players play with grass level? You don't. But in boxing, there's none of that. You know, that's it. We're a family. And I'm forever grateful for that environment. And to share that environment with anyone is honestly an honour.
That's so, yeah. Class.
Thank you.
That's class.
So, you go from sparring national champion.
Yeah.
And you say, okay, yeah, I still want to do this. So, where does the journey continue then into the fights that you've had? So tell me about your first fight first, and then we'll talk about McCann and Bridges.
So my first fight was over there in Australia.
Comprehensive victory.
Yeah. absolutely loved it. Like, obviously I've danced on stage in front of millions of people, in front of thousands of people all over the world. I've danced in front of the Queen when I was a little girl. So performing in front of a crowd, as long as it had been away from that, almost loved it. Like, I'm not shy. You can't tell. And so, yeah, like, I just had this buzz, and it just made me hungry. Same thing. And then the way that it transitioned from me being over there fighting as an amateur to coming over here was I came back on holiday for the first time. So I got stuck in Australia. I couldn't leave. If I'd have left, I would never have got back in my visa. There was a whole thing after an effort kid started, and I had to fight to get my visa. So I hadn't been home and seen my friends or my brother for 5 years. My mum and dad had been out after COVID, but I hadn't seen anyone else. And so I had this visa. My visa had finally been accepted. So I had this residency, and so I could leave. And so when I came home, I came and, like, obviously trained in a couple of boxing gyms over here, and was like, whoa, is this what, like, it just almost gave me another, like, firework up my ass. It was like, oh, wow, this is another level.
Where did you train? Because were you back here?
Yeah, so... where I'm training now, so my coach Ryan, I used to try, the first gym I ever went to was underneath his gym. It's a bodybuilder gym. It was the first place I ever went after I'd had anorexia when I was 18. And it was upstairs from there. So I was literally just going there to train just while I was on holiday. So I went in there, and then I went to Mad Dogs, you know, Wayne. So then I was training with Wayne. And so, yeah, so in the end, I decided if this was something that I really wanted to do, it was time to fucking... Yes, I was training every day. Yes, from the beginning, I've had a nutritionist who's still in Australia. And yes, I'd started living that life as though I was already a professional athlete. I did that from the very second I decided, right, that's what I'm going to do. But I knew that I had to move home. I just knew that it was time. I was with a girl before I left Australia, and that relationship ended badly. And it was just time for me to be around unconditional love again. It was time for me to heal, and I needed to do that at home. So came home, had another amateur fight, was in the developments, and then got disqualified because I hadn't disclosed all my fights in Australia. And my manager Errol Johnson and my coach were like, we're just turning over, like, we're not doing this, we're just turning over. So that was that. Had my first pro fight last June, and then the Molly McCann fight came up, and I was like, let's fucking go, this is yours, let's go.
How does that come up?
Did you know who Molly McCann was? Did you know her background in MMA?
I knew who she was. I like MMA. I've not really watched the UFC. I know of it. If it's on, I'll watch it, but I don't. It's not like I'm like, oh my God, there's a fight on. Like, everyone around my house. Do you know what I mean? So I knew who she was. I knew her, the career that she'd had. I didn't care. I knew what I was capable of. And that was it. Let's go. No questions asked. Let's go.
Yeah, so from that fight, obviously everyone knew Molly's background. And at the end of the fight, you've come out of it with a lot of esteem, haven't you? You know, your stock's gone, although you've lost.
Was it that
distant? Your stock's gone up there. So is that then, did you fight at that level and think, okay, yeah, this is my level and I can work from here?
I'll be really honest with you. After the Molly fight, I went through another period of depression. Very different, not a period of where I was like, it was a period of self-doubt. It absolutely destroyed my confidence. And to anyone that's experienced a loss, I never had. And Molly was right. I remember her fucking saying it to me in the face off. She was like, you know, I've lived it all. I've experienced the losses, blah, blah, blah. I never went in there to lose. I never go into any work to lose, you know what I mean? And it fucking broke me in a way that I felt like I'd let myself down. Like I had this huge opportunity in front of me and I just blew it. That's how I was looking at it. Do you know what I mean? Like I was genuinely looking at it from the perspective of like, I fucking blew it. Like, I can't believe it. Like, I know I could have fucking performed better. X, Y, and Z. The reality of the situation was I had to find pride in what I'd done. And it just took me a long time to find that, you know. When I realized and came out of that place where I was like, stop talking to yourself so negatively. Like, you do not let any woman in your life speak negatively in front of you. Like, someone will say something to me and I'm like, don't talk about my friend like that. Like, if someone says about, so why wasn't I taking my own advice? That loss has given me so much more fucking fire. Do you know what I mean? But I had to go through that to understand. I'm so proud of the person I am. I'm so proud of the journey that I've been on. The way that I was talking just wasn't going to benefit anyone. And then obviously if I'd have won that fight, the Ebony fight wouldn't have come up, and yep, it did. And quite honestly, I'm very, very grateful for that, because I believe that that's done more now for me and my profile than just having thought, oh, you thought, well, it can lost you that. Do you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Well, we've had Frankie Gavin on and Connor Tien, and they all say the same thing, that you don't learn anything until you've got that loss, and that the lessons you learn from that loss then,
yeah,
to get it under your belt, more or less, to be like, you've got to get a loss to kind of build upon that, haven't
yeah
you?
But everyone's kind of bigging you up off the back of that, but that you weren't hearing any of that. You just kind of...
Like I had people send the most beautiful messages, and strangers. And, you know, like, my gratitude was still there and I genuinely was so grateful for that support, and I still am. But it was, I wasn't hearing it. I was getting people send things for me to sign. I was getting stuff, you know, come through the post, and I just couldn't feel it. I just couldn't find that pride. It was just so, I was so disappointed and so mad at myself. But the reality of it was, like, girlfriend, who else has done what you've done? No one. Do you know what I mean? Who else has come from 3 years of boxing and done that and taken two rounds of that? No one. But I just couldn't see it for so long.
Giving yourself a hard time, your inner voice.
Yeah, whereas now, like, even after losing to Bridges, like, it was a very different experience. Like, I found pride in that fight, not disappointment.
Well, I think the whole world can agree that, you know, we're happy that fight happened, because if nothing else, even for non-boxing fans, we got the press conference, didn't we, in the Wanes.
Elaborate.
So this is where we turn into 14-year-old boys. And we start talking about the outfits, we start talking about OnlyFans, we start talking about
business related. Yeah,
no,
business
related.
Yeah. So
nothing is off limits.
We start going like
same.
No, so it's all business related, isn't it? It's all the OnlyFans, the outfit, your persona as it plays out publicly. That must do wonders for your online business. So tell us
the business.
Yeah.
Tell us how the OnlyFans came around. It's obviously a natural sync, isn't it, from what you do, from being a dancer, a performer, then boxing, and with Misfits and everything else that's kind of emerged recently. Everyone seems to have an OnlyFans, don't they?
Yeah.
So how did that come about?
So
it's like OnlyFans. Yeah, that's all he wants to say.
Your feet as well.
It's not my feet.
You hear a vibration, that's not that funny.
This is going to be an editing nightmare.
You're welcome.
Let's talk about the outfit first, let's talk about
how did you get the tape off after?
I was fucking hungry. I ripped it off. You fuck. Do you know? I literally went back to the hotel, mother died. I went, that was it. Like, I'm on food, Nando's. Let's go. If I'm nervous about ripping off a band-aid or a tape, whatever it was, like, I probably shouldn't be fine.
You're in the wrong business. Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah. Like, no, it obviously caused the stir that you wanted it to start to cause, I should say.
Yeah. It was almost like I knew what I was doing.
Oh
my God, this Blanco, if faked, it actually has a brain. Would you believe? Shakara, so does everybody. Bridges, absolute gratitude for that woman, because she set the fucking standard. She was the first one to do what she did, you know. And I said that to her. My admiration for that woman has always been there. Thank you, because it was women like her that reminded me, don't be anyone but yourself. You know, in this world, everyone has a fucking opinion and you're entitled to it. But a lot of what people say and a lot of those negative comments are reflections of their internal world. You know, I don't remember God giving me the right to judge another human, and he certainly didn't give any other human the right to do that either. We don't have that power. However, we still do it. you have to be strong enough mentally to not allow that to affect you. So the weighing outfit, I wanted to wear tape. I looked fucking fabulous and I enjoyed it. Like, was it a marketing ploy? A little bit, but it's just me. Like, I have multiple personalities and that's one of them. And I enjoyed that. And so the OnlyFans stuff. So people have always just looked at me and assumed that I've got one, right? I get it. I don't look this way for nothing. Like, oh, I'm going to play on what I look like. Cool. Great. And I hadn't for so many years. And people would just be like, why? You don't give a fuck. I don't judge anyone for anything they do. It's your body. You own it. Like, everyone's going to have an opinion. Just because they may not have the confidence or the desire to do it doesn't mean that you shouldn't. My OnlyFans, I don't do nudity or anything like that. And that's not because I don't want to. I give a fuck. It's quite honestly because I don't ever want to take away potential future children's autonomy. Like, I can't decide what my future son or daughter may feel about that. Do you know what I mean? And so that's the only reason I don't. But I'm also like, do I like sex? Yup. Do I enjoy having a great time? Yep. What's the problem?
I feel like OnlyFans has evolved as well, hasn't it? From being a sleazy kind of...
Porn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. To business.
Yeah.
And you've probably seen some of the stats and some of the money that the OnlyFans themselves are making over the years. So from a business point of view, I think if you've got it flaunted is a bit of a...
Lots of professional boxers have got OnlyFans. Terry Harper's got one as well.
Exactly. And do you think she's on there bending over doing it? No, she's definitely not. But boxing is a really difficult sport. Like, I get messages sometimes, like, obviously I just went away and then I'm going away again. And I think people assume that you have this pool of money. Don't get me wrong. If you're sat here, you absolutely do. Where I'm sat, this is the brokest I've ever been in my life. Quite honestly, like, to pursue the dream that I'm pursuing is a financial hardship. I have made money. I've enjoyed life having money. I'm living off savings. Like, people probably assume that I get paid a heap. I don't. Like, in regards to funding this, it is all through sponsorship. It is all through, we don't get paid a lot to fight, not where I'm fat anyway. And so do I want to then sacrifice the opportunities that I'm getting by getting another job? No, I got into the fire service. I was supposed to start as a firefighter. I started and then got the Molly fight and went, what you fucking doing? You know who you are. You know what you want to do. You've seen it. No, chase it. But doesn't mean I can't. Doesn't mean I can survive without doing something. And so, yeah, from a business opportunity, it allows for me to train. It allows for me to live my life as an athlete whilst also being able to fund that. Mm. So, yeah, that's where that came.
And it goes back to you, mum and dad wanting to be a banker, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Why okay.
Sorry.
Yeah.
It's a lot of people banking.
Yeah. Of course, after that walkout, yeah. But the it's either do that and kind of be that person where you're not that person, which a lot of people do for financial security, or take the leap and be like, okay, I know the answer to this question before I'm even asking, but are you asked what other people think? Have you had any family issues with it?
I've had no family issues, no, yeah. Because I'm very upfront about who I am and very upfront about what I do, but I'm also, my family know who I am as a person. Now, there's, like I said, there's a persona, there's a character that I'm sure everyone thinks that I am. Let them. People's judgment of me is none of my fucking business. I know I'm a good human being. Like, people's own internalized shit that they may not have worked through, I don't take offense to, because at one point in my life, I was probably that girl too. Do you know what I mean? You have to grow. You have to put these things in people's heads, you know. And yeah, I've had judgment. Of course I have. The biggest judgment I had, and the only one that affected me, was recently. I was over in Australia. I haven't spoke to the kid's dad for 4 years. I'm best friends with their mom. We have a beautiful relationship. And I got an email from the cunt, and it was basically saying that I'm putting the children in danger because I have OnlyFans. And that was the only time that I've ever gone, am I? Wait, like, am I? Because that's the only thing I actually give a fuck about, right? So anyway, my friends are like head of fucking sex crimes over there. So I was speaking to her and she was like, are you stupid? Like, calm the fuck down. At what point, like, are you doing anything to hurt these children? Like, there's also nothing on there that respectfully they don't see at the beach. Do you know what I mean? So if anything, my message to them is stop letting people tell you who you can and can't be. Mm-hmm. Do what you want. It's your life.
Have you had any funky messages on there? Is there anything that's been a little bit out there?
Oh, yeah. I love a funky message. The weirder, the better. I'm a fucking weirdo, so send me whatever you want. All your things, it's great. I'm also a person that believes, like, even sexually, right, like, how do you know what you like unless you're willing to try? Why not? Try everything twice in life. First time, there's could be too many variables. Second time, just to make sure. But no, yeah, I've had like heaps of weirdos. Like, whatever. I don't judge anyone because that's not my job. That's not my job.
I'm going to go a little bit deep. Would you then say to your stepdaughter, go and do OnlyFans?
Absolutely not. I would tell her she is free to do whatever she needs to do. However, every choice that she makes will have consequences. Every choice that she makes will have repercussions. If she comes to me and asks me one day at an age that's appropriate about it, then I'll talk to her about it and we can have that conversation. But she has a choice. I don't get to tell her who she can and can't be. It's not something they're even aware that I do at the moment. And do they have social media? Yeah, absolutely. If they ask me about it, I will never lie. There's a power in being truthful. There's a power in honesty, right? And if she decided that she wanted to do something like that, that's on her. You know, and will I talk her through? Will I tell her the pros and
cons? Safety, isn't it? 100%.
Because once you do that, there's no going back. Once you decide to engage in that, people have an opinion of you regardless of what you're doing. I'm sure people have an opinion on Terry. Terry's probably not even in there on launch, right? You know what I'm trying to say? I don't know. I'm not on Terry's OnlyFans, but like, I highly doubt that. But the people still judge you for it. But no, it's not something I push on anyone. I don't push anything onto anyone. That's my personal opinion on my life, and everyone has the freedom to make that choice on of theirs.
I think it says more about women's boxing and the money involved, doesn't it? That so many boxers find the need to do this, even at the top of Terry Harper's level, wouldn't it? That level,
yeah.
You know, in comparison to men's boxing,
money wise,
yeah, and
the disparity.
That's exactly what it is, right? Like if you start looking at the reality, and you've got like Sugar Neeks on there, you've got who's world champion. So hang on a minute, that's you're telling me that she's at this level, she's under MVP, and she's still doing it. There's not that many men in comparison. I know Echo Esserman does it as well, like he's one of their sponsored athletes. But like, why? If we were getting the money that the world probably thinks that we're getting, we probably wouldn't be. But we also have to train 2-3 times a day, every day, to then go and try and work a 9-to-5 or whatever that is. It's physically sometimes impossible. You know, you find yourself traveling all over the world. The fire service, the reason I went for that is because you have 2 days, 2 nights. You can train the rest, 4 days off. You can train the rest of the time. You also get an hour a day to train at work. Amazing, that fits me. I can train once, I can do my run at work, or there's a bag at work in every station if I'm not. But the 12 weeks to get to that point is horrific.
Four days, 9-to-5.
And again, I was willing to do that. But the reality of it is, this is my dream. I don't have a big window. I have a very short window. Am I sacrificing monetary gain? Massively. Am I sacrificing the opportunity to maybe have a family? Absolutely. But I've chosen to do that. That's my choice. But I still need to live. So people can pass judgment as much as they want. They're not in my shoes. And I think that's the message for me, is stop judging people when you don't know what they're walking in.
So off the back then of the fight with Ebony, again, your stock's risen. What's the plan in regards to promotion? How do you move on to that next level then of representation at that level?
So I guess for me, I set goals every new year. I have this little thing that I do where I set goals, I write them down and I lock them away in the box. I burn off energies that I don't want to take forward, and I go into the new year with these goals. At the beginning of the year, I told everyone, well, I told myself, I'm going to get a belt this year. So that's what I'm going to do. That's my next plan. That's what I'm pushing now. I want to fight for a belt. And I want to continue to do that. So, yeah, I'll have a belt by the end of this year.
And what is that, Steve? Is that Midland?
Yeah, so the first one will be Midlands. And then hopefully we can start fighting for some bigger ones. And so hopefully that will be September, as long as things go to plan.
Excellent. Excellent.
Who are you fighting under at the moment then? What's the...
ECB.
Yeah.
ECB. So Errol Johnson.
Yeah.
And yeah, they've been amazing. I can't let's say, you know, they really are incredible. But I will, would I want to, do I want to get signed under one of the big promotions? Of course I do. Who wouldn't? Will I do it? Yeah, absolutely. I'm going for it. Like, there's nothing going to stand in my way.
So rules and regulations wise with the BCB then, Misfits come in and they say, we've got a big kind of something going on that. Is there flex to go and do bits that you want to do yourself, or is it kind of, this is the...
My understanding of it is it's nothing to do with my management. It's to do with the British Board of Boxing Control. So once you, my understanding, I could be completely wrong here. Yeah, is once you cross over your professional license, you can't go down that route. Doesn't mean I wouldn't go into Misfits. I would, but right now I want to pursue the professional route.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
But yeah, absolutely. Like I went and sparred Jade. Jade, she's lovely, before her last fight. And she was like,
that was awesome.
What a legend.
Bloody hell.
And she said to me, like, why don't you do Misfits? And I was like, I've definitely thought about it. Like, I'd be in a much better financial position doing that than this. But right now, this is the route that I've chosen. If it comes up, if they offer me something, we'll talk.
Yeah, because we had Carla Jide on, didn't we? Yeah,
I've spoken to Carla too. She's beautiful.
Yeah. So we kind of similar conversation, but she's that way.
Yeah, yeah.
So they're the two avenues, aren't they? But you want bouts, you want glory.
Not glory. I want, definitely not glory. I want belts. I want a platform. I want to box. I want to get better as a boxer. And I want to show everyone that anything is possible. And I think, unfortunately, there is still this stigma around Misfits at the moment, certainly not from my perspective, but in regards to building what I'm trying to and what I'm trying to achieve. Right now, the professional route is more viable for me personally.
But you're saying about sparring with Jai Jones. Obviously, she's Olympic medalist, highly esteemed in
really good
combat sports. But the woman that she fought, she a singer. I think she was a citizen kind of performer.
She was a performer. I think her dad is famous for something. I don't know.
But that was a mismatch, wasn't it?
It was a bit of a mismatch. Yeah.
Yeah. I think that's where it hurts itself a little bit, isn't it? But again, with the same thing, you look at boxing the other night. Look at Dave Allen Hergovic.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
I like Dave Allen.
I fucking love Dave. He's an absolute little legend. What a funny character.
But Hergovic and him are on two very different trajectories, aren't they? And that as a mismatch wasn't the best, was it?
I think the other night that, you know, Dave himself, I think on an Instagram post said that, you know, he's probably one of the most humble people and very honest people. He vocalised that himself. So it's not a secret. But yeah, we all saw it, do you know what I mean? And that happens. I mean, be honest, what was I bought in for Molly's fight for? I bought him for.
So do you look at that now like that and go, well, that didn't happen. That's what they wanted. That's why I got brought in. Sacrificial lamb. You weren't. You boxed. Yeah. It's a points decision against someone like that. So
I look at it and I think, fuck yeah. Like, I'm proud of you. Let's go again. Let's work on that.
Do you think she thought she was going to knock you out as well?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think she said it, didn't she?
Yeah, I think
pretty
so.
Pretty sure she said it and I laughed in her voice. Probably didn't know what to say. I was probably shitting myself. Being like, don't fucking tell anyone.
Yeah.
Everyone had that tape on
it. Hey, it happens. It happens to the best of us.
Oh, yeah. I'll do it to you.
So, yeah, I think I look at it and I go, what can I learn from that to take forward? Because next time I'm the underdog, I'll make sure that I'm not.
Yeah. Wicked.
You like you like the side of it. You like the trash talk, the in your face.
I feel like you do. I feel like
That was Carla's thing, wasn't it?
Yeah.
She's the nicest person.
She fucking loves trash talk.
Oh my God, there's on that one.
She sat here and she's just the nicest person in the world. She and then you watch them then, because she said that's the persona she's got to push out there. And then, that got to be...
That with the Mexican guard, it was like...
Slapped the other one. And she said something about Carla being a single mom. And
your kids and their friends.
Where's your baby? Go and eat some tacos or something. It went...
Went a little bit toxic.
Like, blokes is like, I'm going to smash it back. Like, you're talking about, like, parents and stuff. We were like, whoa. I was like... And because we'd had her on as well, I was like... Leave her alone.
I'm pretty sure she was actually doing the same when people were going at me on fucking after the out on the bridges when I was dressed in a plug-in tape, she was like, someone said something to her on my profile. She was like, fuck off Ebony's feed and come and have a go with me. And I was like, thanks, babe. Appreciate you. She's gotcha. Beautiful. The trash talk, it is what it is.
Mm-hmm.
Will I go in there with the intention of trash talking someone? No, but I'm certainly not fucking afraid to do it, you know? Do I have a tongue? We're nasty. We all can. Do I want to be that person? No.
Like you say, it's panto sometimes, isn't it? And it's like...
It's business.
Yeah. It's to try and...
Sell, haven't you?
It's the same as boxing, isn't it? Boxing essentially is WWF, isn't it? And you're building it up and...
You've got to have a good guy and a bad guy, haven't you?
Yeah.
Good lady and a bad lady. Yeah. Bad person to... Kind of
the whole Peaky Promotions as well. Then if you've seen like Ginge from Shire End and Shadow Boxer and stuff, brilliant, because it's like a soap opera, and they sold tickets off the back of it. God. And the fight wasn't quite what they expected, but they've sold tickets and people have had a good time with it. So it's
social
part
media
of that,
is the biggest marketing tool in the world right now, right?
Yeah.
And views trap money.
Yeah. So. Well, you look at Ronda Rousey and.
Yeah, exactly.
I know the other novel was it 17 seconds work for $2 million.
Exactly. Do you know what I mean? Like, so if there's something that you need to do, like, fucking do it. But also, there is an element in it for me personally where, like, boxing is a mind game. If you can get in someone's head, you've already fucking won the battle. You have to have, like, an iron mind when you step into that ring and step into that environment. You can't allow someone else's comments to fucking penetrate. You can't, because if you do, it's game over already. And part of it is also that, yeah. Mm. Part of it is also that, you know, it's mental warfare. And yeah, then I guess it's funny at the same time. Like, if someone says something to me, I'm going back. I think the first experience of that was with Molly. And was I a little bit like thrown? Yeah, because I'm not that person. Like, I'm not going to go up to my girl and be like, you're a cunt. Unless I'm drunk. I'm joking.
I generally won't be drunk at weigh-ins.
I don't drink anyway. But yeah.
Try to drink too much just before the weigh-in.
Yeah, exactly.
Just maybe the pot's heavier than it on you. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Quickest way to cut weight.
But yeah, it is fun.
How'd you find that? How'd you find that side of it? Because obviously you mentioned when you were younger, you had the issues with anorexia.
I did, yeah.
How does that translate now to... asking too much about weights and things,
you can ask.
As a gentleman, how far are you off? You kind of walk around every day training weight to 5 pounds.
So obviously I've dropped down to super sly. So I probably walk around about 57, max 58. So what's that? Like 6 kilos over. And to be honest, yeah, like this might sound wild to anyone that has gone through an eating disorder. The eating disorder thing when I was 18, there were so many things that like led to that, right? Like looking back at the dancing, I'm like, oh, well, that makes sense. From the age of 4, I was put in front of a mirror and compared to the girl next to me. And
yeah.
I had to look a certain way when I stepped on stage and I was dressed in fake tan and full face and makeup from that age and blah, 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 blah. It carries with you regardless of whether you're anorexic or, you know, that narrative, whatever that might be, there are stages in your life, admittedly still me, where you look at yourself and that dysmorphia is still there. Boxing also healed that for me. And I'm not saying that boxers don't have disordered eating. You tell me every boxer, we all say the same thing. After this fight, I am not putting on this weight. Bullshit. We always do. So, yeah, there's disordered eating, but boxing for me quite did the opposite, where it gave me, for the first time ever, wasn't hyper-fixating on what I looked like. I couldn't give a shit. The only thing I care about is performance. That's new. That's awesome for me. So, yeah, boxing saved me in so many different ways.
And like, so having a nutritionist as well, you know what you're eating and what it's producing and the effects.
Just understanding I have... all my friends, like, they're not athletes, and I have conversations with them, and it's just a lack of education. It's just a lack of education around food. I don't know about you guys, but like when I grew up, even though I was an athlete, we'll say, like, I didn't know I was back then, but I was from a very young age. I had no understanding of food and what that did and how that fueled the body, but I also had no understanding of the effects that would have on like your hair growth, your nails, shit like that, like puberty. I didn't know understanding of that, like. So I just think it's a lack of understanding for the world. And so even if as a black boy, I can help you understand that, like, ask. Just ask. There's nothing wrong with asking. Don't be embarrassed. Like, if you don't know what you don't know. But, yeah, so the weight cut, I enjoy. I really enjoy a weight cut. That sounds wild. Mm-hmm. Because it gives me an opportunity to, at another level, see how strong I am. I'm in charge of everything. My mind doesn't control me. I control it. And so when I sit there and I'm on fucking starving, I do. And I don't choose not to eat something. Yeah, it's just another example for me of, yo, good for you. You win tonight. And that's what training is for me. It's every day reminding myself that I'm in charge, not the fucking demons.
That's class.
Same for everyone.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Brilliant. So, come to the quick fire.
Oh, God.
Let's quick fire it.
Oh, God.
Before we get into it, I just wanted to ask off there.
Yeah.
But, so, you want the bouts?
Yeah.
So, who's the dream? You look and you go, right, you and me.
So, for this belt, for the Midland title, me, Holland. That's
so. Tell me, you're coming for it.
I assume someone has. I'm pretty sure she probably knows. I know the British Board of Boxing have mentioned it to coach and management, and that's all we've been spoken about. So, yeah, Mia is one of my really good friends. We spar all the time. But when it comes to boxing and when it comes to both of us achieving our dreams, we've got a job to do. She wants it just as much as I do.
Is it quite a small pool that you will fight and spar quite a lot with people that you're going to be fighting?
Unfortunately so, as a female, right, which is why when a fight comes up, like obviously I went up 2 weight classes to fight Molly and I went up a weight class to fight Ebony. I'll take anything. Like, you don't...
You went up 2 weight classes to fight Molly?
Yeah. So I fought at Super Bantam to fight Molly, but I'm super fly. But like, I don't...
Oh, but that, even that... Do you know what I mean? You took that long to kind of go, I take a bit of pride in what I've done now. That's like, that's Amir Khan getting his head taken off of Canelo. Never been the same boxer as him.
But yeah, like, there is a small pool. So you take what fucking comes, the phone rings, an opportunity presents itself. You got 3 options. You stay the same. You stay where the fuck you are. You take it and it doesn't work out. Guess what? Take some pride that you have the bollocks to try. Or you take it and it changes your life. So yeah, a small pool. We do what we can. We spar who we can. We travel a lot for sparring. Like, I was sparring before the Ebony fight, I was sparring Ashley, who fought Molly last. So we were going to Wales. She was coming down from Wales. You take what you can. You do what you can. When I get to go out to Australia, this is the first time I didn't go to Sydney and see all my friends. I just went to see the kids. But usually I would go and, like, still spar the girls over there. And you take what you can.
And again, it's just as simple as, all right, and then we're fighting kind of, okay, distance.
Yeah.
Bosh.
I don't, I mean, you've probably seen it with the women. You literally smack talk each other. You fucking hate each other. You fight. And then it's like, oh, babe, how are you? Can we get coffee? Yeah, 100%. That's just how it is. It'll be the same with Mia and I. There's zero.
Malice.
None. But I'm going to take your head off. Absolutely. I'm going to take that belt. Yeah, it's mine. After that, love you. Do you want to get coffee? 100%. Beautiful human. But in that ring now. We have a job to do. It's my job. My job to do. And I'm done.
I love that. I love that.
So, what
so,
is...
Yeah, quick fire.
What is the one thing people always get wrong about you?
I hear a lot for my whole life. Oh, you know what I expected? Oh, shit, that means you look like a stuck-up cunt. I'm not. I'm really not. I'm pretty nice. I get it. I get the stereotypes. I get the ideas of the stereotypes. I also understand marketing. That's
it. Yeah. We've had that a few times, haven't we? Someone said, who's the last person?
It's the other way around with him. They go, I assumed you'd be a really nice guy, but...
Me? Yeah.
I know, I thought that when I walked in. You messaged me and you were really kind.
Off camera. Oh, I'm horrible.
Oh, are you joking? You bought me a coffee. Thanks. Yes. Thanks, Greg's.
Yeah, thank you, Greg's.
Who's the dream opponent?
If you was to pick one out.
Ooh.
It could be professional, it could be just someone you want to punch in the face.
Oh, let me get my list out. You've seen Evan Almighty when that's me when I'm joking. Correct question. There are people that I want to fight, the people that I'm not ready to fight, people that I would get my absolute ass handed to.
Let's put ourselves in a category where you go, do you know what, you're training, you don't, it's hypothetical. So even just, you know, in 3 years' time, maybe you would
love your to share a ring with.
Yeah.
One of my favourite fighters is Ellie Scott. I think she is incredible. I have the utmost respect for that girl. Like, I watch her perform and I'm like, wow. Like, she looks effortless. She looks like she's almost on ice when she's fighting, right? And so to share the ring with her, if I get to that fucking stage, like, you know what? I'm proud of me. And she's incredible. I would love the honour of seeing her.
Bro. Best advice you've ever received that's like, there.
Follow your intuition. Listen. It's there for a reason. It really is. You know, there's so many times in my life where that gut feeling, you know, and your gut, don't know. We've all felt it. You choose to ignore it because X, Y, Z, he, her, she tells you otherwise. You always know. Or at least I have. So, yeah, follow your intuition.
Brilliant. And then finally, what advice would you give to someone in the Black Country in Birmingham that's aspiring to see the world, aspiring, kind of stuck in a rut maybe, or wanting to get into boxing? Kind of what's your overall advice?
Life is short. Tomorrow is never promised. Be where your feet are. You know, the world has taught me and traveling has taught me that there is so much more than what we are aware of. There's, you know, we only know what we know. It's scary, but you know what's scarier? Never fucking finding out, never trying. And so anyone who needs advice, anyone who is looking to get into training, looking to travel, ask the questions of someone who has asked me. It might just change your life. It might just completely throw you off course. And if it doesn't, yes, but this is still home. You can come back. You didn't fuck up. You tried. Be brave. Be bold in the pursuit of whatever sets your soul on fire. Yeah.
I think we can have like a special Made in Brum Only Fans code for like 1 month only.
100% John, off the beat liar.
It's been an absolute pleasure.
Thank you for having me. It was really enjoyable. Thank you.
If you like this video, please do click to subscribe to the channel. We currently have 5,500 members. Over 500,000 views. So let's convert some views into memberships, and that'll continue to enable us to bring great guests on and continue making great podcasts. Thanks.